Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Come see Doc.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Here is a rhetorical question for Montanans. Here is a rhetorical question for all of you all across the state. Would you rather state government spend public money on things like billboards in Chicago to attract more tourists, or use that money to lower your property taxes? Now, this is a very interesting conversation, I think, because we all know, you know, tourism is important to our economy. But do we think that tourism is going to stop because we don't send our money to run ad campaigns in Chicago and Seattle? And some of you also probably think we probably have a little too many folks coming from Chicago and Seattle. What about the rest of us? And I think we all would love to see lower property taxes as well. That was actually the opening sentence there that I just shared with you from a guest opinion column by State Senator Carl Glimm out of the Flathead Valley, out of Kyla, Montana. He's with us this morning here in the opening a couple of segments on the show. Senator Glimm, great to have you on the program. I think you've already got your answer to that opening question. What would your opening answer be?
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Thanks for having me. Well, my answer is that I think we need property tax relief. Pretty easy answer. We get tourists coming in here all year long, actually now. We used to have a tourist season. Now it's all year long. And they use the infrastructure that Montanans pay for with our property taxes. They use our roads, our water and sewer systems. They use those things that our property taxes are paying for, but they don't have to pay anything to use those services. And so it's kind of just a common sense idea. Let's take some of that money that they're paying and let's help Montanans with our property tax issue. Property taxes are way too high. Throughout the last number of years, that has been an overwhelming, overarching complaint that we've gotten from our citizens. Property taxes are a very complicated issue, and a vast majority of them are local. And the state actually doesn't get very much money from your property taxes. State gets like 15% out of your property taxes. The rest of it goes to local things, local schools, your county budgets, roads, sheriff, fire, those kind of things. But what we're doing with this bill is we're going to take some of that tourism money that is that we get from extra taxes on lodging and rental cars and that kind of stuff. And we're going to turn around and we're going to try and get a credit back somewhere in the neighborhood of $400 per residence, your primary residence. And it's going to show up as a credit right on there. So you'll be able to
wow.
see
every single
credit
year
that we're going to give you.
So every single year, every Montana resident, homeowner, and renter could get up to $400 back on property taxes every single year through this proposal. All right, hold that thought. More to follow with State Senator Carl Glimm right after this.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so in this guest opinion column, State Senator Carl Glenn at Ocala, Montana, points out that initial estimates of his draft bill, LC-0627, would save every Montana resident up to about $400 on property taxes every single year. When I first read this headline, I thought, hey, great idea, but how much money will that save? There you go. If every single one of us could save $400, that would mean a lot, especially given all the inflation that we've been hit with over the last 4 years or so. Senator Glimm, I really like the analogy that you make here about the traveling soccer mom or the traveling wrestling mom or volleyball. Pick the sport, because it's not just the tourists that pay these taxes on rental cars and hotel rooms. We do. We, the people of Montana, do. And so what if right now our money is being sent out of state to encourage out-of-staters to come here, people that would probably come here anyway, right?
Right. And we've got, let's just say that Kevin Costner probably did more for tourism in the state of Montana than any program that we've run through the state government. People want to come here. We've been found. And I don't think there's any shortage of that. And in fact, I know I get a lot of people in my district that say, when are the tourists going to stop? They're clogging up the roads and using all the services, and we're having to wait in line to go get a meal at a restaurant. And they'd like to see some benefit out of that tourism. And this is how we can get it. We can get them money back every year, permanent tax relief on their property taxes. That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, and the other thing, when it comes to tourism, because I know we've got businesses listening right now, and they're like, they're probably saying, hey, we benefit from tourism. We like tourism. Yeah, we got that. But you know what I found very interesting was several years ago when we started rocking the Bakken and oil and gas was doing very well in eastern Montana and western North Dakota, for example, tourism numbers skyrocketed in those areas of eastern Montana. Because think about it, if Montanans are making good money and we have more money in our pockets, we get to benefit more, we get to travel more, we get to enjoy more of Montana. So you get more Montana tourists because we, the people of Montana, have more money in our pockets. Go figure.
You bet. And you've also got business travel with that kind of stuff, too. You've got executives that are coming in. You've got people that are moving around the state that are involved in those industries, the people that are doing sales and all kinds of stuff. They're going over there. They're eating in restaurants. They're renting cars. They're renting hotel rooms for their stays. And all that is contributing. You bet. It's a much better plan to get our natural resources going again.
Well, and heck, let's look out your window there in Kyla. I mean, when I was a kid in the Flathead Valley, we would drive to Lethbridge, Alberta, or Calgary, Alberta, and we would drive through Glacier National Park. And it was such a highlight, even though it was pretty scary as a little kid looking out that window and not, you know, seeing just a cliff outside your window. And now you got to have a reservation. It's so packed, so crowded that they force you to get a reservation. And so we, the people of Montana, can't, you know, typically haven't been able to just simply drive through Glacier National Park like we'd be able to, like we used to be able to.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we used to go up there camping all the time. We used to go up to Two Medicine and camp frequently. It's tough to do that now. There is a lot more tourism and there's good things to that too. But in this idea, we're trying to take a little bit of that money and spread it back to the people who are dealing with some of the issues. They're using our infrastructure. We're having to put up with their traffic. They should be contributing a little bit. And that's what this does. It gives a little bit back to the taxpayer.
In the interest of time, because we've only got a couple more minutes with you here, and then I've got a conversation with Senator Steve Daines right around the corner as well, but Mike in Billings just called in with a good question. Why not just lower the property taxes anyway, especially with the budget surplus? And I know there's some other proposals that you're looking at in regard to, right?
There are some other options there. Property taxes are really complicated. If you lower the rates, they kind of equalize. So generally, if you lower a rate, it just shifts somewhere else and somebody else pays it. Some other kind of property tax category pays it. So if you lower residential, some other either commercial or ag or forest land have to pick up those differences. And so property taxes, when you start talking about percentages, it the state can control what the percentage is, but the counties get to set their budget, and their budgets are limited, but they set their budget, and that drives how many mills you're going to pay, which is just based on your rate. So you end up paying, even though we lower the percentage, you end up paying more mills, and you end up paying the same amount because the counties need the same amount of money to run.
Yeah, and it all comes down to local spending and those local issues, which determine the bulk of your property taxes. So if you don't control spending at your local level, you're going to get hammered with more property taxes regardless of what they do at the state level, right? About a minute to go here, whether people, or less than a minute, whether people agree or disagree with your proposal. Sounds like here, over the next couple of weeks, great time to contact your local legislator before they show up in Helena in January to tell them where you stand on this or any other issue.
You bet. Yep. Love to hear from the people and what issues are important to you. If property taxes is one of your issues, then this might be a way for you to get some relief.
All right. State Senator Carl Glenn, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time. And hey, good luck coming up January, because you jump right into that river, right into the Whitewater Rapids come January, huh?
That's right. Thanks, Aaron. Merry Christmas, Montana.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks so much for your time. All right, coming up after the break, I got a chance to catch up earlier this week with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. I'll share some of those highlights with you and a couple of other big updates, including let's talk about some wins. Let's talk about some victories. Stand by. Brett.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, now that's another interesting angle, too. I just got a message from, let's see, I should have kept the message in front of me. I just got a message from, oh, yeah, here we go, Brenda. Brenda in the Malta area of Malta, Montana. Remember about a year ago, we had all these hunters in Malta saying, ah, there's too many out-of-state hunters. It's crazy how many out-of-state hunters there are. So Brenda says this. The state could save the advertising in Washington for hunters, too. So, like Carl Glimm talked about, some people are saying there's too many tourists here. And Brenda's saying, yeah, there's too many hunters, too. It's too many out-of-state hunters. So maybe if they lower the out-of-state advertising for tourists, that might also lower the number of out-of-state hunters that flood the area as well. Brenda, thanks for that quick message there. All right. Earlier this week, I caught up with Senator Steve Daines on Capitol Hill. And it's funny because, you know, obviously there's been some major developments in the House side in particular with regard to the last minute spending bills and the debates and things like that. Right. But it's also amazing how little has changed. I mean, because especially, you know, one of the concerns I raised with Senator Steve Daines is about some of these Montana specific priorities that unfortunately Senate Democrats are continuing to stand in the way of. All right, now there's a big victory that I want to talk about as well, but first let's jump into it here as part of my conversation with Senator Steve Daines.
Hey, good morning, Aaron, and Merry Christmas to you as well.
So as we look to head into the new year, Donald J. Trump, president once again, talk about just the last couple of weeks, I guess, on Capitol Hill. You've been meeting with President Trump's nominees. How well positioned is the soon to be Republican controlled Senate and President Trump?
Well, the most important thing that we can deliver for President Trump is to move his nominees through. It's the first thing I told President Trump when we met after I was elected to be the Republican Senatorial Committee chairman. This goes back to January of 23. So nearly 2 years ago, I flew down to Mar-a-Lago, and I met with President Trump, and I told him that the most important thing we can give you in January of 25 will be a Republican Senate majority, because it's been said that the U.S. House is in the PR business. The Senate's in the HR business. We really have responsibilities for personnel, and I had great meetings yesterday with several of President Trump's nominees. I mean, you look at you look at who these leaders are that President Trump's bringing in. You know, Doug Burgum, Pete Hegseth, Scott Bessent at Treasury, Chris Wright, Energy, RFK Jr., HHS, Cash Patel, FBI. I've met with all of these leaders. We're working very hard to get these new cabinet members through the U.S. Senate as quickly as possible. Here's what will happen. We will start hearings next month. We'll swear in the new Republican U.S. Senate on January 3rd. That's when Tim Sheehy will be sworn in. I'll be here in Washington to escort him into the U.S. Senate. It's part of the tradition. It's the first time in 114 years we've had two Republican U.S. senators in Montana. So I'll escort him there. He'll be sworn in the 3rd. We'll start hearings on these nominees in January. President Trump is sworn in January 20th, and we hope to have votes on the Senate floor for many of these cabinet officials right after President Trump is sworn in.
That's great to hear this sense of urgency, and I guess the military terminology, the violence of action. If you want to win, you got to have that violence of action. Sounds like you're ready to get the job done and get President Trump and his team in place as soon as possible, because there's a lot of problems to fix after these past 4 years. 30 seconds before the break, and then we'll talk more with you, Senator Daines, after that. But a lot of problems to fix after these last 4 years.
Well, there's a lot of undoing we've got to do and then get back on offense. But I tell you, think about the contrast. Doug Burgum at Interior versus Deb Haaland. Chris Wright, Secretary of Energy, a guy is the CEO of a fracking company, versus Granholm. I mean, these are just day and night kind of improvements in leadership. And it's why I think a lot of us have smiles on our faces here as we come into the Christmas season.
I've noticed it even Christmas shopping, even grocery shopping. People are in the holiday spirit, and I think the optimism from the election results is a big part of that. Senator, I know we've just got a couple of days left, really, on the legislative calendar. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping some of this Montana stuff could get across the finish line. The Crow Revenue Act to help out our coal miners and Roundup, et cetera, and help out the Crow tribe. Funding for the Milk River irrigation on the High Line. But it sounds like we're just going to have to wait till the Republicans take over the Senate and Trump's back in the White House to start addressing a lot of this stuff, because the Democrats are just still playing political games. That's my read anyway. What's your thoughts?
Well, any time you're pushing for something that involves coal, you get strong, strong resistance from the Democrats. They hate coal. They want to shut it down. And that's just the reality of it. And this is why it's so important when President Trump is sworn in and brings in his new cabinet, we've got a pro all of the above American energy team that will be leading the charge to stop this nonsense that's going on, that's trying to keep coal in the ground, shut it down. And as you look to the future, Aaron, the reality is we're going to need 50% more energy in the next 25 years than we're currently consuming today. When you look at what's going on with digital assets, with AI, these are very energy-intensive technologies. It's going to require a lot more electricity. We need more baseload power, not less. And that is why what's going to be happening with Colstrip, what's happening at the Roundup, the Bull Mountain Mine, we need more coal. We need to continue to invest in coal because it is a low-cost, affordable, reliable source of energy. Let's look at carbon sequestration technologies. There are ways to continue to increase coal production, even reducing carbon emissions with technology. But the Democrats want to shut it all down. You can't run this economy on intermittent sources of energy, which are wind and solar. And I'm not opposed to renewables, but they are intermittent sources of energy. You've got to have baseload power. That's nuclear, it's hydro, it's coal. You got to have that, or you don't have a reliable energy grid.
I know here in just a few minutes, you're going to be heading off to the weekly Montana coffee, where the whole delegation typically has coffee with any of the Montanans that are back in Washington, D.C., visiting Capitol Hill. I saw a photo that inbound Congressman Troy Downing shared, and it's just crazy to me. John Tester isn't even showing up. Apparently, he's not going to show up for the Crow Tribe and get the Crow Revenue Act across the finish line. He's on his way. But that Montana coffee, it's always been friendly, even when it's Democrat and Republican. But I guess from your standpoint, it's going to be even more friendly of a Montana coffee coming up that first week of January.
Well, looking forward to kicking off Montana Coffee in January. Yes, today is our last Montana Coffee of the year, and as Montanans are listening this morning, that's 8:15 a.m. every Wednesday. It's been a tradition, bipartisan, going back many, many years. And starting in January, you look at the starting lineup, it's going to be Tim Sheehy, Ryan Zinke, Troy Downing, and then myself. Look, we've got three of our four in the federal delegation from Montana are now combat veterans. Aaron, I'm the only guy that's not a combat veteran there for Montana Coffee, and I'm grateful that we get to have this great lineup. And again, it's a free donut, it's free coffee, it's every Wednesday morning, 8:15 a.m. We want to continue to get a lot of Montanans there when they're in town. We call that the Montana Family Reunion. Oftentimes, we'll get a big crowd, and we'll have somebody that'll come in from Glendive, who's maybe cousin from Libby. They had no idea they were both in Washington that week, and they'll see each other at Montana Coffee. So that's kind of the way that Montana operates, absolutely.
That just got me thinking. We should do Montana Talks. We should broadcast live from Montana Coffee sometime. How fun would that be?
That would be great. We could have Montanans who were showing up there could jump on the phone and say hi. That's a great idea, Aaron.
We could set up our equipment right there. We could be there, set up, enjoy some coffee, and then get the delegation on, get any Montanans that might be out there. Well, we'll have to talk offline with your crew about that. That would be a ton of fun because it'd be fun to get back there, to, you know, especially with this massive, because you talk about this historic, I mean, first time in what, 100 and how many, 14 years, 114, is that?
It's the first time in 114 years that Montana has two Republican U.S. senators. I mean, it's kind of crazy. I'll become the senior U.S. senator for Montana beginning on January 3rd when Tim Sheehy's sworn in. And I'll tell you, Tim Sheehy is already shaking things up here in Washington. Folks are hearing about him. They can't wait to get him back sworn and off to the races. But he's one of these ready to lead from day one. Kind of individuals, extraordinary in so many ways. I know he and his sweet wife, Carmen, their family will be here on January 3rd for the swearing in. I'll be back here with Cindy to honor Tim Sheehy. And then on January 6th, we will certify the Electoral College, the election. I told Tim Sheehy, I said, Tim, I got good news, I got bad news. The bad news is Kamala Harris is going to swear you in. I said, the good news, on January 6th, you get to watch Kamala Harris preside over the loss of her election. And by the way, we'll get payback on January 6th, and off we go.
The word of the day will be joy. It will be a joyous occasion.
It will be joy on that day, no doubt.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's see, we got about 30 seconds to go. Obviously, the elections, I think, are probably one of the biggest stories of the year. 30 seconds to go. How else would you recap 2024?
Well, I was speaking to a well-known business leader who has great ties to Montana the other day, and he said, Steve, I think this was the biggest election since World War II. And you know, when you step back and think about it, President Trump is changing what's going on in the world. You see Justin Trudeau collapsing. You see what's going on in the Middle East. It's really seeing America strong again. The world is anticipating President Trump being sworn to office. It's a lot like when President Reagan was elected in 1980, that weak leader in Jimmy Carter. It was a moment of dramatic change for the world.
Well
when
said.
Reagan took the stage,
that's what's happening
Trump
now.
The same thing.
All right, we got to hold it there. Enjoy Montana Coffee.
All right, so yeah, I caught up with Senator Steve Daines earlier this week, and you know, I expressed the concern that, hey, is Senator John Tester, he's on his way out, but apparently he's not just on his way out. He's already said, I'm done. I'm out of here. Why is he not going to stand up for the Crow tribe and get the Crow Revenue Act across the finish line? That was on. So I had that conversation with Steve Daines Wednesday. Let me tell you about what happened yesterday on Thursday. John Tester did not show up for the Crow tribe.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The House failed Thursday night to pass an alternate stopgap government funding bill that still included farm assistance, though further action is possible today to keep the government lights on. The vote yesterday was 174 to 235, with 38 Republicans voting no and just two Democrats voting yes on a scaled-down bill to avert a Saturday morning shutdown with funding through March 14th. The GOP scrapped an earlier bipartisan deal after President-elect Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk opposed it. But the new bill still included $10 billion in farm aid plus disaster help for producers. Republicans like Missouri's Mark Alford defended it.
Missouri has 87,000 farms. We are losing 1,000 farms in America each month. Our food security is national security, and the Democrats do not want to support our farmers because of the high inflationary costs that this administration has brought about and the low commodity prices. Farmers are going out of business.
But Democrats lashed back that Republicans broke their own earlier bipartisan deal. Top Appropriations Democrat Rosa DeLauro.
I just remind my colleague and friend from Missouri that the compromise bill had support for the farmers, overwhelming support for farmers and for American families as well.
More action on a funding bill is expected later today. I'm Lee Northlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, real quick, let me share a message from Bruce in Ennis regarding our earlier conversation with State Senator Carl Glenn out of Kyla talking about, hey, what if we take the money from bed taxes, from lodging taxes, from rental car taxes, and what if we use that money to lower property taxes here in Montana? Bruce in Ennis gives us a different take. He says, we don't have a taxing problem. We have a spending problem. And just a reminder, he says, tourists spend money, eat food, rent cars, visit sites, stay in hotels. Without that money, a lot of businesses would close up. Remember 2019, no tourism, no money to the revenue department. So that's what Bruce and Ennis had to share. Bruce, thanks for those messages. And then, of course, you just heard Montana Senator Steve Daines talk about how Senator-elect Tim Sheehy from Montana is already shaking things up back in Washington, D.C., even though he's not even going to be sworn in until January 3rd. Well, we've got Senator-elect Tim Sheehy with us now live right here on Montana Talks. Tim, great to have you back on the show. Are you going to get to enjoy a little bit of a Christmas here? Merry Christmas to you and yours, first and foremost.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Aaron. I'm actually here at the Duncan Colony here for our Hooterite friends. So I'm spending the morning with them here, seeing what they're up to for the holidays, and hardworking folks here, and represent the salt of America. So like you said, we got to shake things up. We got a lot of work to do, and we got to hit the ground running on January 3rd. So as Senator Daines said, we're working hard already, not even sworn in, but we're trying to make sure we get good cabinet nominees in place so we can chart a better path forward for this country.
Oh, man, I'm jealous. Sounds like you're having a great time there on the colony. Always some great food. Are you going to be able to bring home a hog or anything to smoke for the holidays?
So I'm actually calling from their kitchen and their bakery right now, and they got these amazing rolls coming out of the oven, and, man, it smells great. So they're letting me use their landline to call out.
That's incredible. You know, my my stepmom is from Coaldale, Alberta, Canada, and her dad, Sonny, he's a wild man. He's a character. If you've spent some time in Whitefish on the ski hill or at the golf course, you know who I'm talking about. But you know, he's got good friends out on the colony outside of Coaldale, and we got to see their, you know, their hog operation, and it is an impressive facility. I mean, it's crazy to get to see just what they do in agriculture.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, they're some of the hardest working folks around, and they do a lot of our concrete work for us here nearby. We're just down the road at the ranch here in Martinsdale, and we have the Martinsdale Colony and the Duncan Colony we're at today. But, you know, these are the type of folks that work hard, and you know, they're excited about Trump's win. They're excited about our win. And that's why we're here, spending some time with them to make sure we're keeping in touch with the people of Montana, what they need.
You were just in Colstrip as well. Are people in Colstrip feeling a lot better? I know our friends in Roundup at the coal mine there, the coal miners there, they're feeling a lot better about their prospects with the new Trump administration coming into play.
It's a huge sigh of relief, but as you probably know, while I was in Colstrip, while I was there, you know, the state Supreme Court ruled against, you know, the future of Colstrip while I was physically on the ground there. So although nationally the outlook looks good, we still have the Montana State Supreme Court, which is enacting terrible policies for the energy industry here in Montana. But Colstrip, I mean, the entire town depends on the mine and the power plant, and we need to be fighting tooth and nail to make sure that Montana has cheap, reliable baseload power. That's a national security risk. It's a risk to our state economy, and Colstrip has to stay open. And not only should it stay open, we should be growing it and supporting them. They shouldn't have to worry every day they're going to have a job tomorrow.
Man, you started talking about the rolls and the cooking there on the colony, and I got totally distracted from whatever I thought I was going to talk about. But a couple of things. Speaking of coal, the Crow Revenue Act, you know, I shared my conversation with Steve Daines from Wednesday. The Crow Revenue Act would not only benefit the Crow tribe, I think they'd get $100 million in royalties out of the deal, but it would also keep the coal mine south of Roundup, the Bull Mountains mine, up and running. Yesterday, Senator Daines fought to get the Crow Revenue Act across the finish line, and the Democrats rose in opposition. There was a Democrat senator from Hawaii that rose in opposition, and successively in the Democrat-run Senate killed that bill, blocked that bill. And a certain Democrat senator from Montana never even stood up, never even rose up to stand up in defense of the Crow tribe, nor our coal miners in Roundup. It's just like, you know, January 3rd can't come soon enough.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, obviously what a lot of folks haven't quite realized, but they will soon, is that Montana hasn't had a vote in the Senate for the last, you know, 10-plus years because Daines and Tester have canceled each other out. Tester's vote, you know, although we've had a great warrior in Steve Daines fighting for us, Tester's undone every vote Steve Daines has taken. So effectively, Montana has not had a vote in the Senate for the last decade, and now we are, because we are going to support coal, we're going to support energy, and just like you said, you know, even though I don't have a vote, I reached out to Mitch McConnell, who is our current minority leader, and said, listen, I am fully behind, you know, the Bull Mountain Coal Act. I'm fully behind making sure that our reservation can recognize revenue from that. So although I don't have a vote, make sure that I wanted him to know where I stood on this issue, and I think we're, you know, we're going to see a much brighter future for coal in Montana here in 2025.
I think congressional Republicans will be more united in the next session of Congress. Obviously, the Republicans will now control the Senate. Senator Steve Daines, with your election, talked about how this is the first time in 114 years that Montana will have two Republican U.S. senators. So that should lead to good things in President Trump in 2025 from a Montana standpoint, for agriculture, for natural resources, you name it. So it's easy to look, though, at the current session of Congress to point to some of the disappointments. Let me point to one victory. You know, Senator Steve Daines was singing your praises. This is a victory that Senator Steve Daines delivered, and a lot of people don't even know how big of a victory this is. So a liberal federal judge here in Montana announced he was going to retire into senior status. And quickly, the Democrats were going to try to ram through a liberal judge with a lifetime appointment before the Republicans likely took back control of the White House and the Senate. They were not able to do so in Montana because Senator Steve Daines stood up, put a halt on that nomination, and that liberal judge candidate never even got a committee hearing. So that is a big victory, and now we can hopefully get a more reasonable federal judge into a position like that because of Senator Steve Daines' work. And a lot of people don't even know about that, nor the significance of federal judges.
You're absolutely right. And one of the roles that the Senate plays that many folks don't understand is personnel. Personnel cabinet nominees, personnel in the form of judicial nominees. And like you said, these lifetime judicial appointments have tremendous impact on our state. We can have a supermajority in the legislature. We can have a Republican governor. We can have Republican congressmen and senators. But guess what? If the judges sitting on the benches are liberal like they are right now in our Supreme Court and elsewhere, a lot of that gets undone. So we have to have the three branches of government, legislative, executive, and judicial. We have to have judicial constitutionalists. I don't even want conservatives. I want people who just follow the Constitution. That's what I want, and that's what we need to get in place here in Montana.
All right. I've got several other questions I can throw at you, but Senator-elect Tim Sheehy, what do you want to communicate to the people of Montana?
Listen, the most important thing, I got to jump here to get back to my friends at the Duncan Colony, but the most important thing is on January 3rd, it's going to be a new day in America. On January 20th, we have an opportunity to get this country back on track once in a generation. So I'm extremely honored and privileged that the people of Montana supported me for this. The real work starts in about 2 weeks. We have a lot of work to do. I ask folks to stand behind us. Have patience. Legislation doesn't happen fast. Give us a few months to get the cabinet in place. Give us a few months to get everything lined out. But 2025 is going to be a great year for this country, and the people of Montana have spoken, and we're going to deliver for them.
All right. Well, it sounds like you got to run, Senator-elect Tim Sheehy. Wish all of our friends there at the Colony a Merry Christmas from all of us and to your family as well. God bless you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, and Merry Christmas.
All right. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Okay. Hey, since he's got to run back to the bakery, you'd want to run, too, if you were smelling all those good baked goods. Since he's going to run back to the bakery, that means we've got a few minutes here for you. If you got something you want to talk about,
406-294-0970, or you can send us a message on the Montana Talks app. All right, here we go. Oh, man, that's a lengthy clip here. I thought it was a shorter one. That's all right. I do have audio. Senator Steve Daines took to the floor of the Senate yesterday to highlight the Crow Revenue Act. He describes it as a win-win-win. And that's exactly what this is. The Crow Revenue Act, for those of you who don't know, earlier this year, I had the mayor of Roundup, Montana on this show in our studios. And I also had a conversation with the CEO of the Signal Peak, of Signal Peak Energy, which has the Bull Mountains mine south of Roundup. And what they said is we could see layoffs at the Bull Mountains mine, or the mine could shut down altogether next year unless something is done. Now, the good news is the Trump administration is coming in, and their access to coal deposits on federal land, the prospects are a lot better now with the Trump administration coming in and throwing out the Biden administration that would say no to any access to federal coal deposits. So that's the good news. However, there's never a guarantee. Plus, could a liberal judge block the mining on federal lands, right? Especially with these liberal judges we still have here in Montana. So that's why this Crow Revenue Act is so important. It delivers funding for the Crow Nation, and it keeps the coal mine up and running. It's a win-win. So why didn't the Democrats stand up for Montana and stand up for the Crow Nation, especially after they stuck their necks out for him?
For eligible. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh no, the government might shut down. Oh no, what will we do? What will we do? Some of you have asked the question. The government has shut down dozens of times in the past few decades. And yet somehow we ended up with a better deal after a government shutdown than without threatening a government shutdown. But, oh, no, what will we do? I'm glad we got a few minutes here because, I have an update on a potential funding deal to avoid a government shutdown. If the government does shut down, we know that it's the Democrats in Congress, it's the Senate Democrats, and it's a nowhere to be found Joe Biden that are responsible for shutting down the government. I mean, here they are kicking and screaming. They were so mad yesterday, as Jesse Waters pointed out, they were chanting because they didn't get to give themselves a $60,000 pay raise, because they didn't get put a bunch of woke BS into a 1,600-page cramnibus bill. All right, quick update here. I just saw this from FoxNews.com. House Republicans reach deal on Plan C to avoid government shutdown. House Republican negotiators have tentatively reached an agreement on averting a government shutdown at the end of the day today. Two people familiar with discussions told Fox News Digital that the deal would include a short-term extension of this year's federal funding levels, disaster aid funding, and agricultural support for farmers, but under three separate bills. So what it sounds like is they're going to take exactly what they voted on yesterday, what 38 Republicans teamed up with the Democrats to vote against yesterday, even though the bill was backed by Trump. They're going to take the same thing, cut it up into three separate bills, and then vote on them again today. That's what it sounds like anyway. It would also reportedly include a handshake agreement to act on the debt limit next year as part of Republicans' planned massive conservative policy overhaul via a process called reconciliation. So that's the latest there. All right, but, oh no, the government's going to shut down. What would happen? Could you imagine if the government shut down? We'd have a bunch of drones flying over New Jersey doing who knows what. Oh, wait, that's already happening. If the government shut down, they would leave $85 billion in Afghanistan for America's enemies to take over instead. Oh, wait, that already happened. If the government shut down, Putin might go invade another country. Oh, wait, that already happened. Look, we saw firsthand what happened during the Obama government shutdown. They made big government even bigger. They made it worse, if you could imagine that. We had World War II veterans from Montana go to see their World War II memorial in Washington, D.C., and Biden put up barricades to block them from seeing their memorial. You know what some of the great Montanans did who were tagging along on that trip? They moved the stupid barricades and let our World War II veterans visit their memorial. Kelly Seifert with The Buzz in Glasgow, Montana. He shared a great government shutdown story. He says, yeah, that last government shutdown, I remember it quite well. My fishing buddy Norm and I went to go fishing. We got to the boat ramp. I think they were out at Fort Pitt. We got to the boat ramp, and the Corps of Engineers had those oversized sawhorses blocking the fishing ramp, or the boating ramp, with a sign saying, all ramps are closed. Here we are, freshly trapped minnows, a pretty nice day, and they got the ramps closed. So Norm asks me, well, now what? Kelly says this, and those of you who know Kelly, you could see it happening. You could see it happening. He says, I just got out of his Ford pickup, went over, moved those ramp blocks out of the way, and he was looking at me like, what are you doing? And I told him, what the hell? None of them are working. What are they going to do about it? They probably wouldn't care anyway, would they? He says, so we went fishing, had the big pond all to ourselves, and had a banner day. And like you said earlier this morning, it ends up being a paid vacation for government workers. I know that for a fact because I have a few friends that work for the Corps of Engineers. So, yeah, it reminded me, you know, the way they would abuse government shutdowns to try to make it more painful for the American people was just like the absurdity we saw with their COVID lockdowns and their COVID mandates and all this stuff, right? It was just like the absurdity we saw. And just like our most likely veteran volunteers who were escorting our World War II vets to the World War II Memorial, just like they said, you're not stopping our World War II veterans from seeing their memorial. And they just simply moved the barricades out of the way. What a beautiful display of civil disobedience, by the way. Just like Kelly and Normie, just like Kelly and Normie there, simply moving the barricades to the boating ramp and enjoying a nice day of fishing. It reminded me of during the COVID stupidity when they shut down the national parks. And you could drive through Glacier, at least a slice of Glacier on Highway 2, because, you know, to get from Browning to Kalispell, you end up driving through the park on Highway 2. So they didn't shut that one down, but they wouldn't let you drive from Gardner to Cook City because the road went through Yellowstone. Yellowstone's closed. I remember it well. We had a guy call in, it must have been on a Tuesday, and say, hey, a bunch of us are driving to Cook City tomorrow. I said, yeah, but the road's closed. He said, I'll say it again. A bunch of us are driving to Cook City tomorrow, whether they have the barricades up or not. And you know what happened the next day? National Park Service just magically decided to remove those little barricades. Imagine what you can do if you can finally stand up and say, not any longer, no more.